Members of the Defense Innovation Board have spent the last 3 months traveling all over the country and world to bases and command posts. Now they're ready to give the Defense Department their 2 cents on what DOD needs to do if it's to become a futuristic organization. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni has more.
The Defense Innovation Board is one of the most eclectic groups the Pentagon has put together. The Defense Department managed to wrangle Eric Schmidt to chair its board. He's the director of Alphabet, Google's parent company. Others sitting on the board include Jeff Bezos, president and CEO of Amazon, Jennifer Palka, founder and executive of Code for America, and, of course, everyone's favorite, astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. Defense Secretary Ash Carter charged these high-power thinkers with guiding DOD into the modern era. This week, the board gave DOD 11 recommendations to up its innovation game. One of those suggestions is to establish a career track for computer scientists in the military and in the Defense Department. The track provides incentives for cyber-minded people and keeps them in jobs they enjoy doing. That's especially important considering DOD is scraping the bottom of the barrel to recruit and retain cyber talent. Here's Schmidt explaining some of the frustration cyber soldiers felt during a Pentagon board meeting.
There was this conversation we had with a young officer who said that he was a cybersecurity expert. And so one of the board members asked this young gentleman, "How long will you be a cybersecurity expert?" And he said, "Well, for one more year, and then I rotate into something else." And he was, I think, complaining to us without complaining that was really stupid. So it was my opinion. It seems to me that as I understand the military hires doctors and doesn't convert them to something else while they're in the military. It keeps them as doctors. Last time I checked, I think that's true. And I would assume the same thing is true as lawyers.
Schmidt is asking why cyber experts should be moved from their field if doctors and lawyers are not. The board also recommended building a center to study artificial intelligence and machine learning. The center would work with universities, military labs, and industry to develop and implement the technologies. Here's what Eric Lander, Defense Innovation Board member and president of the Broad Institute, had to say about that.
In the coming decades, the ability to use massive amounts of data rapidly is going to be one of the most important advantages in any conflict. Autonomous vehicles have to be able to use massive amounts of data. They have to have systems that can do that. Being able to interpret patterns to know whether something's a threat, what kind of a threat. We are going to enter environments in which we cannot do this alone. The warfighter is going to need, and the planners are going to need, the ability to sift through lots of data from everywhere, from the exotic to the routine of personnel building and training and logistics to the much more high end. What might you do with 1,000 drones coming at something? All of this is going to require artificial intelligence and machine learning, and not to have that as a deep research capability within the DOD would be, I think, as big a mistake as not having a deep expertise in nuclear weapons would have been at the time some decades ago.
Along those lines, the board recommends better communications between the advanced research arms of DOD. The board thinks regular meetings between DARPA, the Strategic Capabilities Office, the Defense Innovation Unit Experimental, and other agencies could help increase the flow of ideas and best practices. But not all of the board's recommendations are easy to swallow for everyone. One recommendation states all systems built for DOD should have their source code made available to the department. It also says DOD should get the rights to that code. Here's Milo Medine, Vice President of Access Services for Google Capital, to explain more.
This is not about having the government own code, but being able to access code and being able to build code allows the ability for the government to do rapid bug fixes when that is the most expedient way to solve a particular problem, particularly in systems as they age. The evolution and changes to those systems sometimes get slower and slower. The ability for the government to take advantage of that is important. Also, we've seen how systems that have been built in isolation have difficulty sometimes exporting information out for fusion of information, which we think is going to be important in the kind of context of machine learning. the ability to modify code for these systems, not necessarily to deal with the sort of core functionality of the system, but being able to export that data out to machine learning systems and other systems, we think can be done in a more expeditious way if the government has access to the code and can make changes to that.
Industry might not be as excited about that recommendation. The right to source code has been a long brewing battle between industry and the Pentagon. Companies want to keep their intellectual property, while the government wants things to be more open source to enhance cybersecurity. But now that the recommendations are out, what's next is up in the air. Here's Schmidt again.
I think the key question going forward is what happens now? And I'm not referring to the DoD side. I'm referring to what happens with our recommendations. And how do we make sure they actually happen, or are we right or wrong, or how do we get feedback, and all those sort of operational issues, which any large organization become sort of difficult and important at the same time.
DoD already took some of the recommendations to heart. Ash Carter says he's working on a chief innovation officer post. DoD's also creating a Center for Artificial Intelligence and Machine Learning. Right now, the Pentagon's trying to schedule a meeting between industry, defense labs, and universities to figure out better ways to collaborate. But despite the moves Carter's making, next week he'll be out of office, and it's not clear how much of an interest Defense Secretary nominee James Mattis will have in innovation. On the other hand, there has been some question as to whether all the Defense Innovation Board members would stay in a Trump administration. That's considering some of them were critics of Trump or Clinton supporters. But Schmidt says all but maybe one of the members will be staying on board. Neil deGrasse Tyson summed up his reasoning.
All of the carefully selected quotes that you find in these halls, they pledge allegiance to the Constitution. And in fact, I haven't yet to see a quote that talks about the president. So I think there's a higher mission statement that we all live by here and expect that will just continue as some of the most important continuity that the country must experience, and that's in our defense capacity.
In Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Find all of our DoD coverage at FederalNewsRadio.com.